bang, bang, bang. Children's Church is a two-parter. So kiddos, if normally you would be going to the back, I'm inviting you, come up to the front. We've got something a little fun for all of y'all. They're not looking at y'all. They're like, what is he doing? Have a seat, please. So today's sermon is illustrative. It means we're going to look at a picture. So I've got props. But before we get to those, I have a question for all of you. Do you all know what fruit is? Do we eat fruit? Do you guys want to eat fruit?
Yes.
Okay, so if I gave you a thorn, would you want to eat it?
Yes,
no. No. Why? Because thorns aren't fruit, right? So you all know what fruit is because you see it. You've tried it. Jesus was using this as an illustration. So I'm going to read to you a very little bit of scripture from John. Jesus was talking to all of his disciples right before he went to go die on the cross. So this is one of the last things he said to them. Here it is from John chapter 15. Jesus said this. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That's a fancy word for the gardener. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Okay, so I have four questions that you and I are going to work through here. And you got the right look on your face. What? Okay, so we're going to answer four questions here real fast, and then you're going to eat some fruit. I promise. Okay, so our questions are these. What is a vine? What is a branch? What is pruning? And then what is fruit? Okay, so let's start. What is a vine? Well, Jesus was being very specific. He was talking... Oops, sorry about your guitar. Jesus was talking very specifically about one kind of vine. He was talking about the grapevine. Now, this right here is a grapevine. I cut it right out of the ground, so it actually should have been coming out of the ground just like this. So you can all see that. So we'll pretend that the stage is the ground. Okay. Anybody? What's the branch on here? Point it. Touch it. Where's the branch? You can get up. Show me. What's a branch? Is it the leaf? No, it's the actual stem part, right? Okay, now that one in the middle, what's that? Is that a branch?
Yes, it is.
You'd think so, but it's not. The branches are all these little green shoots on the side. The main part is the vine. That's what Jesus says he is. That part in the middle, that's the vine. So if the middle part's the vine, and you were touching those side branches, those are the branches. Is there any branch coming from the ground? No. Where do the branches come from? Right. So these branches, if we took them off of the vine, do you think they'd live? No, they wouldn't. Okay, now let's get to the really fun part. Okay, so we've got the vine. We've got these branches. Can anybody see what's hanging? Not from the vine, but what's hanging from the branch?
Grapes.
Are we sure those are grapes?
Yeah.
Not a trick question. Those are grapes, aren't they? Do they look like they're ready to eat, though?
No.
No, they look small, right? So they're not mature.
Baby.
You're right. They are baby grapes. But if I showed you big grapes that were ready to eat, you would know what they look like, right? Would you like to see some big, ready grapes? All right, I need a volunteer. Who's going to hold this for me? All right, you. Thank you. There you go. All right. Okay. All right. Now, you all know what fruit is. You all told me so. You all saw that. They said they know what fruit is. Is this fruit?
Yes.
What kind of fruit is it?
Grapes.
We We sure? What color are they?
Purple.
They're purple grapes. Okay, so purple grapes are still grapes, right? Okay, what color are these grapes?
Green.
They're green, but they're not ready. What color are these grapes?
Green.
They're green. Okay, so maybe these grapes could come from that? Tricky, right? Do little green grapes turn into big green grapes? Probably yes. Here's the funny bit. Little green grapes like these, they can also turn into purple grapes. You're right, one fell. Well, we won't eat that one, will we? Or maybe I'll take that one. I'll put that over here. Okay. So now we know Jesus said, I'm the vine. And Jesus said, you are the branches. So if we're the branches, do we have fruit coming off of us? Does this branch has fruit coming off of it, right? So if Jesus wants to be the one that's holding us, if he's the vine and we're the branches, should we have fruit on us?
Yeah.
Yes. Right answer. Right. Do you like grapes?
Yeah.
They're yummy, aren't they? So you want to have good fruit. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, can we eat the grapes? Yes. Can we hurry up and get to the grapes? Okay. If we're supposed to have fruit on us, just like this branch has fruit on it, we want to be the way Jesus wants us. And Jesus says, well, I'm going to talk with the grown-ups about this a bit more later. He wants us to have not just a few fruit and not just a few fruit that aren't mature. He wants us to have big, big bunches of lots of fruit. How many grapes do you think are there?
Three.
You think there's three? How many do you think are there? It's okay. This is no wrong answer. Give your best guess.
20.
You think maybe there's 20. Oh, your face says no. What do you think?
50.
Anybody else got a guess? 40, 50. These are the grape bunches they're looking at. There's probably 50 or 60 grapes here. There's a lot of grapes here. That's a lot of fruit. That all came from one branch. Let me show you another bunch of grapes. It also came, I didn't cut this. I didn't trim it. Are there as many here as there was on the other one?
No.
Now let's be sure. Which one has more? Let the evidence show they all picked the one that has a lot more fruit on it. So which one's better? The one with more fruit.
Yes,
we all want more fruit. So if Jesus says we're supposed to be a branch and we're on his vine, don't you think he would also want us to have a lot of fruit? Yes. And he says as much in this same passage. Okay, you've been very patient. Would you like to have some fruit?
Yay.
Okay, so I've got some green ones, so all of you can grab a very small bunch of the green ones, but leave the red ones, okay? Let the record show, all children of God get to have fruit. No, okay. Okay. You all, munch, know these are fruit. You know they're actually pretty good fruit, aren't they? These are tasty grapes. Jesus was using the vine of grapes to make a point. But in other places in Scripture, he made other points. He talked about fruit all the time, and not always just specifically about grape fruit. He talked about figs. He talked about fruit that was from a fruit tree. It didn't say it was an apple or an apricot, but it was some kind of fruit. Watermelons, oh, I just gave away half the answer. Watermelons grow on a vine. And these watermelons, well, we know they're fruit, right? You sure it's a fruit? Yeah, because you've had them. You know what good fruit are. Okay. Sorry, sometimes show and tell is a little bit of work. I'd say don't spoil your appetite on the grapes, but I think that's not going to be a problem here. All right, I need another volunteer. All right, come on. I haven't learned your name, so you're going to have to help me out. So I'm Peter, and your name is? Anza. All right, Anza, I need you to help me in two ways. First of all, will you hold this for me while I cut this? Hold it right there. Thank you. Before I cut them, this is fruit, right? And this is fruit, right? They're both fruit. They're all watermelon. There's no trick question here. What's that, Dessa? Only because what?
They have seeds in them.
They might have seeds in them. Let's find out.
Hey, Peter. Yeah. I'll give you a nickel if you don't cut it on the carpet.
Zach owes me a nickel. Still a fruit?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, still a fruit. It's a watermelon, right? Okay. We'll get to tasting that in just a second. Okay. We're still all agreed. This is fruit, right?
Yes.
Looks like a fruit, cuts like a fruit. Is that a fruit?
Yes.
You're sure?
Yes.
But the outside looks different, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, good question. Just because the outside looks different doesn't mean it's not a fruit. Do they look pretty similar inside?
Yes.
Yeah, they do. Okay. Thereby ensuring, here, I'll take that answer, thank you. I just ensured that half of my sermon illustration completely didn't go to plan because I was expecting to surprise them with an orange watermelon, but that means that one's out in the truck so you can have that after church. Sometimes even watermelon breeders get fooled. Okay, last thing before we go. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and bear much fruit. What kind of fruit was he talking about? Was Jesus saying, go be farmers and make lots of grapevines?
No.
Right, that's obvious. Okay, so what did Jesus mean? Any ideas? When he says, make a lot of fruit.
Make a lot of different kinds of fruit?
Yes, he did mean make a lot of different kinds of fruit. What do you think?
Like,
yes. So you already knew the end of this story then, because Jesus says that. Jesus said very, very specifically, so I'll read it to you because I am not good at quoting Jesus. He said this. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. So ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. By this, my Father, he's talking about God, his Father, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So have lots of fruit. And at the very end of this passage, he says, these things I spoke to you in my joy, that your joy may be full. And he finishes with this last little bit. He says, no, I don't know that Jesus ever hummed, but I hum while I'm looking for things. Oh, right, he said it. I speak plainly to you. I command you that you love one another. Do you think that's a kind of bearing of fruit that people can do? Can you love each other? Can you love your mom and dad? No, but you can try sometimes. Does your mom and dad love you? Yeah, that's pretty much without question. Can you love your teachers at school?
Yes.
Can you love that kid at school who sometimes is really mean to you?
No.
You can. It's hard. These are the kinds of things that Jesus is talking about. He talks about a lot of different kinds of love and a lot of different lessons of things we can do. But that is what he means when he says, bear fruit. Not that you have to all become farmers and make watermelons, and make grapes, or around this county, make grass seed. All of those are good jobs. But when Jesus is talking to us, he's talking about bearing fruit that makes you beloved to his Father. And how you do that You don't just love yourself. You love each other. So let's pray, and then y'all can head off to Children's Church, and you can take another handful of grapes with you. And we'll do the watermelons after church, all right? Okay, pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your many lessons to us. Thank you for showing us over and over how you are the true vine and that we can abide in you and that you want us to bear fruit. Help us to love each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Grapes for the road and then off to Children's Church if you are under third grade with Laura. You are welcome to three. I'll pretend I can't count. I really did mean it. This children's sermon is also for us. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to read the scripture again, and then we can go through it in a little more detail, because Jesus had a lot to teach us. So if you will, join me in prayer, and then we will read the scripture and start answering some questions. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our good Father and teaching us lessons. Lessons that sometimes we are so dumb, we need you to repeat them over and over to teach us. Help us to see your truth and help us to abide in you and to do it by loving one another like you command us. Let your word be heard and not mine, I pray. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Greg, I seem to be, is that better? Maybe less feedback. Sorry. Okay. Today's sermon, part two, John chapter 15. We're going to read a bunch of verses. So if you will bear with me, we're going to try and answer four questions today. What is the vine? What is a branch? What is pruning? And what is fruit? All right, so we're going to start, and I'm going to read John chapter 15. I'm going to start reading verses 1 through 11. So starting in verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me can type better than I can because I. Wow. Whoever abides in me and I in him, thank you, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I'm going to skip ahead a couple more verses to verse 16. to end with one of Jesus' points. He said this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you." There is so much here to unpack, and I have a confession to make, and I delight in it. Last night gloriously did not go as planned. I had a mouse cut through one of my water lines in my house, and it's fine. I mean, it's a disaster, but it's did not make this sermon prep go as planned. But it made a point for me that I'm happy to share, and it's confession. My son particularly saw me lose my mind, my temper, and my temperament. It wasn't bearing good fruit in a bad situation. It was bearing bad fruit that Jesus says we can do as well. But it fits with this lesson. Sometimes bad fruit must be pruned away. Jesus, well, he's teaching all of us all the time. He was teaching me something last night, and that's not for y'all. It was really for me. But the point I wanted to make is there's a lot here beyond what I'm going to dig into, so I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version. But first off, okay, Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." He was being very literal while also being very metaphorical. So I did bring this vine on purpose. This really is, I didn't mislead the kids. This is not just a fake prop. It's a real prop. I cut this from the ground right here. So this is a two-year-old vine with one-year-old branches. This is what a vine looks at its very beginning. Now, if you go out in the garden behind us, you'll see there are grapevines back there that are some decades old. Some of them have been pruned beautifully, and some of them have been hardly pruned at all. Now, if you don't know much about grapes, I'll tell you really quickly. Grapes grow like mad. They grow very fast. A grape can put something like 5 pounds on, 5 pounds of growth per branch. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, let me show you another prop. Behind the parking lot, our neighbor next door also has a grapevine, and their grapevine is so big it's growing through the trees that are at the edge of our parking lot. And this is just not even a quarter of the vine that is growing through. You see, this is all this year's growth. That's a lot of growth. Another point I want to make, though, about this growth of this year, there is not a grape on it. There's no fruit. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, some of them were fishermen, so they wouldn't have been very familiar, but some of them were, having walked by grape vineyards all the time and going, "Oh, wait, when's the fruit ready? Can I go get some?" They would know to look for fruit, and they would know where to look for fruit. They would not look at the one-year-old growth. They would look at the two-year-old growth. So back to, this is the two-year-old growth. Here's the one-year-old, sorry, three-year-old, two-year-old, and then this year it's made grapes, which aren't mature yet, but that's because I harvested it too soon. The point being, this is a very nice short branch. No one did any pruning because this is a very, very small grapevine. But as grapevines get older and bigger, they need pruning. What is pruning? Well, pruning is you've got to cut bits away that aren't necessary, that are not necessary. If you look in the garden, you'll find a grapevine that is a solid mass. There's vines intertwined. There's leaves everywhere, on top of fruit, beneath fruit. That grapevine has not been well tended. It's starting to have disease problems. Some of the fruit are growing and they're trying to mature, but they're in clusters that are hidden in the shade, and they're not going to mature by the end of the season. Some of the grape clusters are really thin, have only a few fruit hanging from them, because the plant can't support them. It cannot feed them enough. The analogy is, if that plant had been pruned, the good fruit would have had enough food to feed them and come fully mature. Taking away some fruit or taking away some branches so that other fruit could come fully mature is really the illustration Jesus is making a point of. Not all of us bear the same fruit. Some of us are watermelons that are dark green outside, and some of us have stripes. Some of us are green grapes. Some of us are red grapes. Some of us have incredible sermons. And some of us are meandering. Some of us never, ever want to give a sermon ever at all, and we're thinking, I'm glad it's him up there and not me. But you see the truth of it. God said, and Jesus said, not everybody be me, but he said that each of us bear fruit. So, if we're to bear fruit, what did Jesus say about bearing fruit? Well, he says it in this chapter very plainly at the end of his parable. He says to his disciples, remember that's who he's talking to. He's not talking to everybody. He's saying to his disciples in 17, these things I command you so that you will love one another. This whole abide in me, remember who you are. If you're a branch that comes from Jesus, you're to love one another. That's your children. That's your parents. That's the kids' teachers at school. That's your coworkers at work. That's the people who treat you rudely at the grocery store or in the parking lot. There's no exception to love one another. Jesus was saying, that's how we're going to be known by our fruit. And one of our fruits is loving each other. Jesus also taught this in a negative. And pardon me, I'm going to grab my Bible. So Jesus was talking about fruit and also about how you can tell good fruit from bad fruit. I was asking the kids, is this fruit? They all know. You all know. You know what fruit is because you've tried it. Okay, we might not have tried every single fruit on the planet. There are a lot. But you know grapes. You know raspberries and blackberries and apples. We know what fruit are. We also know what bad fruit are. And Jesus was talking about this in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? No. Are figs gathered from thistles? Also no. So, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them, talk about false prophets, by their fruits. That's pretty powerful. I don't think of myself as a prophet. Probably most of you don't think of yourselves as prophets either. But if you think about being recognized by your fruit, people who like you will look at your fruit, and they may go, oh yeah, I can see he's a believer by his fruit or her fruit. What about the people who don't like you? Do they see your fruit? Now let me give you Paul said two specifically that I want to go over very quickly about fruit. The first one's from Philippians. Sorry, I did not intend today's sermon to be a sword drill, but I am going to flip. So today, Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, and to the glory and praise of God. If you're bearing fruit, it's not your own. If it's good fruit, and you read that scripture, it's quite clear. Your fruit comes because you're in Christ, and Christ is giving you his righteousness. All right, one more time now, we'll look at Galatians. This time, this one is a verse that we often teach in wonderful, it brings such hope. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So, between Paul and Jesus, it's quite clear what we are to do if we're to bear fruit. We are to love one another, and we are to have all of these wonderful characteristics. Being patient. It's hard, but it is a good thing. Being kind. Being sincerely good to one another. Okay, enough about the fruit. So, two more points. First of all, in this passage back in John, Jesus said that there's a reward. I don't know if you caught it, so I'm going to go back and read it. I'm reading all of it quietly, and I'm trying to find the verse I wanted to illustrate to you. Ask for whatever you wish. That's a reward to us. I'm looking for the one where it says it glorifies God. Not just... Yes, thank you. There it is, verse 8. In front of my thumb, by this, verse 8, my Father is glorified. You have power. I have power to glorify God in this verse. By what? Bearing much fruit. Glorify God by bearing much fruit. It's a pretty straightforward and amazingly powerful instruction from Jesus. Okay, my last point now, pruning. What is pruning? On this grapevine, it's only 3 years old. At the end of the season, after it's fed itself as much as it could, a vine dresser would come and prune and take away the lower branches to remove them so that there's one nice, strong, central branch, central vine, I beg your pardon, to support future growth. And then the next year, the higher branches are pruned, and so on and so on. It moves up the vine. That means a couple of things if you're being really literal, and I don't think I'm taking Jesus's metaphor too far. No branch stays on the vine forever. They get incorporated into the vine, but they're no longer a branch anymore. Because they aren't bearing leaves, they aren't bearing fruit anymore. They're just supporting the next growth. So if you want to be literal, right now, you're a branch, and in the future, what you have done, the growth that you have done, if it's healthy and is pruned, is going to support future branches. But now to pruning. Okay. So the vine that's out in our garden, it has not been well pruned. And please don't take this as a criticism of their work. If it were mine, it wouldn't have been pruned at all because I have no time. The point is, if someone were to go make money on their grapes, they would prune it. Why? Because they want as much fruit as possible, and they want good fruit. Well, it makes sense. Jesus wants us to make good fruit and lots of it. He even said so in a different passage. He said, you bear much fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. 100 times more fruit. Some of you know I'm a watermelon vine grower. I do work on watermelon vines. One plant might make 4 fruit. That's pretty good. But this is beyond that by far. 30 times? So one plant might bear 30 fruit or 60 or 100? Well, that's not a watermelon. You can bear 30 times more fruit, 60 times, or even 100 times more fruit of the type Jesus is talking about. How does God get you to bear that fruit, good fruit? By pruning you. It's not fun. Pruning is not fun. The vine dresser, this illustration speaks of God as the vine dresser. He comes in with his clippers, and he's cutting away parts of you, his branch. He's cutting it away, not to kill you. He's cutting it away to make you healthier and to make your fruit better. Cutting hurts, literally. Plants don't cry, that we know of, but they do weep sap, and then they have to fix the injury, and then they continue growing. Well, if I have a bad habit, it needs to be pruned away. Well, if I don't know I have a bad habit, I can ignore it, but that doesn't bring God glory. It's the opposite. It's not bearing good fruit. So if I'm going to bear good fruit, God's got to prune the bad things away. And cutting them away usually hurts because I'm a prideful person and think I'm just fine the way I am. But that is not what God does. Because he loves you and he loves me and he wants us to bear lots of fruit, he works and tends and he cuts things away. So sometimes when he cuts things away, it hurts. And you're like, why, God? Why would you do that? I was bearing fruit there. You know, I'm not a prophet, so maybe it wasn't for me to be bearing fruit of prophecy. Maybe I needed to bear more kindness fruit. Each of us is different, and each of us bears different fruit. So if something has been cut away from you because God is working to help something else grow in you. All right, I've taken this as literally as I could. I want to end with this one last point, and I think the kids got it. Fruit is delicious. It's so good. We're coming to the end of season in the Willamette Valley, and we have phenomenal fruit here. The blackberries are great. They're finishing up. The raspberries have been good. The strawberries months ago were good, and soon we're coming into our apple harvests, and apricots and the prunes are going to happen, and the pears. This is a time of delight. If you bear fruit to God, he delights in it. It glorifies him. So I can't tell any of you what fruit you should bear. That is for you to see and for you to pray about and you to work out with God. But every one of you, from the youngest child to the oldest of us, can do the simple fruit that Jesus was telling us. Love one another. If you will, join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you teach us. You teach us that we belong in you as branches. We thank you that you want us to be part of your kingdom, to be called your children, grafted into you, into your family. And like any healthy family, you want us to love one another. Teach us and help us to do just that, to love each other, that you would be glorified in our lives. We pray this in your magnificent name. Amen.